Hey guys, it's Blake, and you're listening to an all-new episode of Blonde Hair, Black Heart. I apologize for not being with you guys last week. I was out on vacation with the family. Matt and I took the twins to San Diego. My brother and his family live out there, and my parents were also out there, so we did like a big family trip. It was so much fun, but it was also such a nightmare. Like, isn't it so funny how things tend to be both? You know, like, life will throw you something that's a little bit of everything. You know, this trip was a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll, a little bit awesome, a little bit awful. I'll just start from the beginning. So we were kind of like forced into going on a vacation. I've explained to you guys how my parents and my in-laws take turns watching the babies during the week, so Matt and I can work and make money to raise them. My in-laws actually take on the bulk of that load. They watch the babies 4 days a week, and then my parents watch them one day. And there's like a lot of reasons for that. I mean, one, they live closer. Two, they are both retired, and so they have a lot of free time. My parents are, despite being significantly older, which is reason number three, my in-laws just have like way more energy because they're younger. But my parents are not retired. They still own their own businesses. And so my parents still have to go into work sometimes. So anyways, the in-laws do 4 out of 5 days during the work week. And they told us about a month ago that they were going to Hawaii for 2 weeks. So we were like, all right. I knew my parents couldn't, unfortunately, just like pick up those 4 extra days a week. So we're like, all right, what do we do? We can't both like work and then also have the babies. And it's really difficult to handle both of them solo. Like, you are quite literally outnumbered, and they're at an age now where, like, they're not just sleeping all day anymore. They are very much up and active and doing stuff. So we decided that the best option was for us just to take time off of work ourselves. And in doing that, we were like, well, we could just sit at home or we could go to California. And so my parents already had this trip planned at the same time. So it just worked out for us to go out there and be there the same time as my folks. And originally we weren't going to go. We were just going to stay home. And we had looked at, you know, getting ourselves a hotel room. Because my brother, he has 4 kids. And so staying with him with the twins, it's just like not an option. So we were looking at hotel rooms, and it was going to be like really expensive because, you know, the rooms are like $300 a night, and then they have resort fees, and then there's taxes, and then they charge you for parking every night. And then, like, we knew we were going to spend a ton of money on food and stuff while we're there, and gas and all of that. So we weren't going to go. But my parents were very, very sweet. And like a week before all of this, they're like, we decided that we really want you guys to come and be there for this trip. My brother, the fourth of his children, is brand new, like 2 months old. So they really wanted us to come and meet our new nephew and have the twins meet their new cousin and all of that. So my mom changed their hotel room to a suite so that there would be room for us to go. And that was very sweet of her, no pun intended. But the problem with those suites is that it's like a bedroom and then a living room. And of course, my parents are in the bedroom, which means myself, Matt, and the twins are out in the living room, which means that there's like nowhere private for the twins to nap or sleep. So basically the entire trip, we were just like struggling to get them to sleep. And then like once they were asleep, like their bedtime is 7. So let's say we get them down by 7:30. We're just like sitting in the living room with all of the lights off in the dark, like scrolling through our phones. So that was the whole trip, all 5 days. We can deal. We ended up just like going to bed early every night. The biggest thing really is just like the noise, and we have our own routine, and like, because we weren't in our own space, the babies were waking up in the middle of the night, and we were trying to like make bottles for them, but we're in a hotel room and we're trying not to turn all the lights on and be loud. And it's like, I don't even know where any of our stuff is. And so it was a headache for sure. And there were just like several instances of like people making a ton of noise, like, you know, housekeeping coming and banging on the door at the most like inopportune times happened multiple times. Like the people in the room upstairs, I think, must have been training for a marathon or something because they were just like running laps in their room all night long. I don't know. And then one of the nights at like midnight, a fire alarm went off and we had to be evacuated and stand outside with the babies for probably over an hour. And multiple fire trucks came. And so it was like a lot of stimulation. And of course, I'm like, fuck, the babies are never going to go back to sleep now. But honestly, thank God they are such angels and they went right back to sleep. I'm actually the one that struggled to go back to sleep after that. And then the next morning after that, after the like impromptu fire drill, housekeeping comes again to try and clean our room at like 8 a.m. And they just like barge in. And I don't know. It's really frustrating. I mean, to their credit, we didn't have the do not disturb on, but like you literally had this entire like wing of the hotel outside in the middle of the night from like midnight to 1:30, and you're gonna come and try and clean our room at 8 a.m. Like, fuck off, you know? So all of those things were really annoying. Finally, on like one of the last nights, I was just at this point like so exhausted because we're like tired and sleep deprived and like, honestly, you know, in our regular lives during the week, we get like a little break from the babies and we get to kind of focus on ourselves and doing work. And I get to do my podcast stuff. And so this was like a full week of just full on dad mode. And parents know that that is exhausting. Like not having any privacy is exhausting. We were sharing one bathroom with my parents. Like we literally had no privacy for a week. So I was so tired. And like the last night we were there, I think, we like finally get the babies put down. And like 10 minutes later, someone rings our doorbell and then immediately starts pounding on the door. And it's like, bro, choose one. Like you don't need to do both. So I fling the door open and I'm like, what? And this poor guy is standing there and he's holding trash bags. And he's like, I have the trash bags you ordered. So I immediately like charge into my parents' room. And I'm like, did you guys call for trash bags? And they're like, no. So I go back out and you guys, I have to preface this by saying like, I am so non-confrontational in real life. Like I'm the type of person where at a restaurant, if they mess up my order, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to eat it, you know, unless it's like raw or something. Like I really don't like, you know, getting into it with people in public. Like that's not me at all. I really avoid that kind of confrontation at all costs, believe it or not. You know, like I will beef with people on Twitter all day long, but in line at the grocery store, like, you know, if you bump into me, I probably will apologize to you. But anyways, I went full Kevin on this guy. Like I screamed at him and was like, it has just been one thing after another at this hotel, you know, between housekeeping barging in and us being displaced because of the fire alarm. And now this, like we have babies and you guys keep waking them up and fuck you and fuck this hotel. Like I literally lost my fucking mind to the point where my husband had to tell me to calm down, which like, obviously, you know, you never tell a not calm person to calm down because that's only going to make them more not calm. Yeah, it was a whole thing. Like, yeah, I was, I mean, like I said, the babies were actually fine. They traveled great and they adapted to everything really, really well. It was myself that did not travel well. And, yeah, I think moving forward, I know that we just always have to have our own space. We have to have our own room. Like I can't have that type of stress of like, you know, worrying about us and our babies and then also having to worry about like my mom and dad who, you know, love them to death, but like they are so annoying and they like weren't quiet at all. And like my dad is very old. He's like pushing 80. And so, you know, he's like talking at a volume that I'm sure he thinks is quiet, but it's really not. And then my mom is shushing him, which is like even louder than him talking. And at one point they like turned on the lights in the bedroom, but they were so bright that it was shining out into the living room. And like, I was texting my mom to be like, can you please turn those lights off? Like we're trying to like get the babies to sleep out here. And she was so confused, texting me back being like, but we're in the bedroom. Like, what do you mean? And I was like, bitch, turn the lights off. Like it was, I mean, I am fully aware that I was completely impatient and like losing my mind the entire time. But that's why I'm saying like moving forward, I know what to do for myself to make it better. I also learned moving forward that like, I really need to adjust how I operate in emergency situations. So I told you guys that the fire alarms went off. And when the alarm started going off, like my immediate gut response was to just go to every fire alarm in the room and try and get it to stop screaming at us. Like I assumed, oh, it's just like the smoke detector is like glitching. And so I spent like 5 minutes just trying to get the things to shut up. Meanwhile, my husband is like getting the babies and getting out of the hotel room. Like it didn't even cross my mind that there might actually be a fire. Like that's problematic, you know? So moving forward, I know if an alarm sounds, step one, check for danger. Step two, silence the thing. All right, but like I said, the trip was also a lot of fun. We got to see like all of my family. My niece and a bunch of her friends were in town. They went to Disneyland, and so we got to see them, and we took the babies to the beach for the first time, and that was a lot of fun. We went to Legoland, which was also a lot of fun, but like also very crazy and chaotic, and you know, not so much for the babies, but more just like for us. And we were with all of our nephews and everything, so that was fun. But my 3-year-old nephew, he wanted to go on only like one ride the whole time, and no one else really wanted to go on it. So I stood in line with him for an hour and a half, which like for a 3-year-old is a very long time. I mean, for a 35-year-old, an hour and a half is a long time. But with a 3-year-old, it felt like 4 hours. Like that hour and a half was the longest hour and a half of my life. And we finally get up to the front and he lost his mind and was so scared. And so we didn't go on the ride. yeah, I mean, I think that kind of like sums up the day. But it was, like I said, it was a lot of fun. Legoland is really cool. If you haven't been, you should go. If you have kids that are like in that like toddler up to maybe like middle school age, I think it's like a really, really fun place to go. Maybe before they're even ready for Disneyland. But I mean, it was like very expensive for us to go and not do anything. I mean, I had a personal pizza. So that was worth $100. I mean, it wasn't made out of Legos or anything, but you take what you can get. Anyways, all in all, it was a decent trip. You know, like I said, a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. Take that for what you will. Coming home was purely nightmarish though. We came home and like as soon as I walked in the house, I knew that it had been a rough week for the dogs. I could smell it. And this poor sweet girl who lives in our neighborhood, she's like a high school girl. She was our dog sitter and she's watched the dogs for us before, but Monica is getting up there in age, and I just knew right away that it had been troublesome. So Monica stays in a playpen. She and Chandler pretty much had been in that playpen together for a couple years now. Both of them, our last house that we were living in, it was two stories, and so both of them had just like really, really fucked up their hind legs going up and down the stairs. And so that's actually part of the reason why we moved and bought a single story house, as crazy as that sounds. But we just kept them in the playpen because we really didn't want them to like do anything that could injure themselves further. I mean, honestly, when Chandler first hurt himself, that was like kind of the doctor's orders was to keep him in this playpen, and it just sort of worked out really well. The other reason why is that they both started having a lot of accidents as they were getting older. And, you know, we're cleaning up enough pee and poop with the twins that I just felt like at least if they had accidents, it would be like contained and we would know where to find them. So Monica was in her playpen. And when I got home from the trip, I could see in the playpen that like there had been a lot of accidents, and the dog sitter had cleaned them up, but like you can kind of tell, like she had Monica had like her bed in there and some blankets and stuff, and you could see where it had been cleaned up and all of that. And then like I said, you could just smell in the house that it had it didn't smell great, guys. And like normally our house smells so fucking good. I think I've told you guys about the Pura system that we use. This isn't sponsored, but if you are someone who likes your house to smell good, then check out Pura. It's like a smart diffuser. Anyways, they're amazing. I have them in every room. So our house smells really good all the time. So I knew that something was wrong. So I like immediately go and I check on Monica, and I also see that her stomach is so distended. It is like so bloated to the point where it's almost like touching the ground. And she's not a tall dog or anything, but it looked way bigger than normal. So I immediately rushed her to the emergency vet. And they told me that I was right to bring her in. It didn't look normal. And so they did, I don't know if it was like an x-ray or like a CT scan or like, I don't know, they used like superhuman vision or something, but they checked out her stomach and they determined that like there wasn't any fluid in there, which was good. And it didn't seem like a mass. It just looked like her stomach was completely full. Like she had either been overfed or she wasn't digesting her food properly. So I at first was like, okay, well, maybe the dog sitter just overfed her. Like, she doesn't know how much she eats. Maybe she gave her too many treats, you know? I left the treat jar out and said to give her one treat a day. Maybe she gave her 5 treats a day. Who fucking knows? So I checked in with the dog sitter and kind of, like, confirmed all these things with her. And she, you know, did tell me that it had been a very rough week for Monica. And she had accidents pretty much every time the girl went over there, and she was going like every few hours. She lives in our neighborhood. So I knew that basically it was a lot of the same signs that Chandler had when he was getting ready to leave us. And so I noticed that she had been drinking a lot of water and then having all of these accidents, which, you know, when Chandler was going through that, we were told it was a sign that his kidneys were shutting down and he wasn't obtaining the right nutrients because he wasn't digesting his food properly. So he was like drinking up all this water, and then it was causing him to have accidents like peeing everywhere and having diarrhea, and then like eating the diarrhea because he was hungry because he wasn't getting these nutrients, and then that was making him sicker, like this vicious cycle. And I don't know if I like told you the ins and outs of it all, but like with Chandler, I mean, that was the same thing. I was finding like piles of shit every 2 hours in the house, you know, no matter how many times I would take him out. And yeah, it was just his system shutting down. And so we basically knew that Monica's time was coming, and it obviously is really sad. I had Monica almost as long as I had Chandler, so saying goodbye isn't easy. It wasn't easy, but we had time, and that was something with Chandler that I didn't have. He was here 1 minute and gone the next. And you know, if you listen to my conversation with Tina Powers, the pet medium, and I actually got to talk to Chandler, that was a big thing for me, is I felt like I didn't get to send him off the right way. And so with Monica, we did, and we got to say goodbye to her the way that we wanted to. And she got a queen's send off. So on Tuesday of this week, we spent the whole afternoon with her. We took her to the park. She got to eat really yummy people food. I, you know, took her to McDonald's and got her an ice cream cone, and she cuddled with the babies, and she got to, you know, play in the grass a little bit and actually like walk out in the sunshine. And I mean, obviously in very, very short spurts, A, because she could barely walk, and B, because queens prefer to be carried. But it was a really beautiful day and a really great way to say goodbye. And I know now that she's with Chandler, and he was waiting for her on the Rainbow Bridge, as they call it. And that brings me a lot of peace. So while it's really sad that this huge chapter in my life, like I had Chandler and Monica since I was like 20 or 21. I mean, they saw me through my entire adulthood. And for a great long period of time, it really was like Blake and the Bings, you know? They were like an integral part of my identity and my personality and all of that. And not only that, but like they truly made me into who I am today. Like if you ask anyone who knew me pre-Bings, I was like so irresponsible. I was like such a party kid. I was like such a procrastinator. Like, you know, if you'd asked any of my friends, like they would have told you that I was a blast to be around and like so funny and like there for a good time, but not a reliable friend. Like not someone you call when you need something or like you need help with something or anything like that, you know? And having these two dogs, having the responsibility of these two dogs, made me the person I am now, where like, if you ask any of my friends today, I am the dad of our friend group. Like, I am the one who is making sure that everyone's taken care of. I'm the one that is thinking of everything and checking all of the boxes and crossing all of the T's and dotting all of the I's. Like, I run and maintain our household. I run and maintain most of my friends' households. Like, it just is who I am now, and it's always who I was, but I needed them to bring it out of me. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of hashtag adopt, don't shop. They were rescue dogs, but like people say, they truly did rescue me. So with that, I say goodbye to Chandler and Monica, but they will forever be with me. They will forever be loved. They will forever be such an important part of my life and my story and my family. And yeah, so that happened this past week. And we're getting through it. We're, you know, we're still here. So we do what we got to do. And what we got to do is talk about Vanderpump Rules. So let's get into it, shall we? Now that I'm a dad, you guys can expect a lot of parenting content, including funny stories about the twins and my journey into fatherhood. Plus, I'm going to be sharing with you guys all of the baby products that I love. So today I want to talk to you about Owlet. The Owlet Dream Sock is the first of its kind FDA-cleared smart baby monitor to offer live health readings and health notifications for babies between 1 to 18 months or 6 to 30 pounds. The Owlet Dream Sock offers parents the ultimate peace of mind, allowing you to monitor their heart rate and their oxygen levels in real time. Not only that, but it also tracks their sleep habits so you and your babies can get more rest. Okay, guys, I'm not here to give you health advice. I'm no doctor, like Anne-Marie Wiley from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but I will tell you this. Like, completely honestly, I swear, the Owlet Dream Sock saved my son Duncan's life. I've told you guys about how in November, he contracted RSV and spent almost a week in the ICU. And we went to the ER and urgent care a total of 6 times before he was finally admitted to the ICU. And it was with the Owlet app, me actually going in and showing the doctor his history of his oxygen levels dipping and going back up and dipping and going back up, and having that tracking at home with him. That is what finally made them realize the severity of what was going on. So I swear by this product, and I am so grateful to Owlet, and to Owlet I say thank you, because I think things could have gone a totally different way if we weren't using the Owlet sock at home. Now, in addition to the sock, we also use the Owlet baby monitor, which you can buy as a combo, the Dream Duo. We were using just a generic baby monitor that you stick on the dresser, and honestly, it was shit. So we switched to the Owlet monitors. They actually hook right onto the crib, and they are so so crisp and clear, such good quality. So using those monitors with the app and then tracking their health, like, we are just getting such a good glimpse into their nighttime routine. We're not having to guess, like, are their eyes open? I can't really tell. Like, when we open the app, we can see if they're asleep, they're asleep. It tells us. If they're awake, they're awake. It tells us. I can, like, see their faces in, like, crystal clear HD, and it's amazing. And because of this, because of the use of the Owlet app, they're getting better sleep, we're getting better sleep, and all good things. So highly recommend Owlet if you are a new parent, a soon-to-be parent, you're looking for a baby gift for a soon-to-be parent in your life. Go to owletcare.com, use our family's code BlakeAndMatthewOwlet25. I know it's long, but just type it all out. BlakeAndMatthewOwlet, O-W-L-E-T, 25, and get $25 off your Dream Sock or Dream Sock Duo, which comes with a cam. And I promise you, you guys are not going to regret it. This is an incredible product. I stand by it. I live, laugh, love it. Okay, so catching up from last week, Sheena is butthurt about Dancing with the Stars. Lala is making everything a comparison about her and Randall. Sandoval is trying to worm his way back into the group and is whining about how Rachel ditched him for her mental health. And Katie and Ariana are pretty much the only ones with brains. Now, on to this week's episode. Sandoval's preparing for his pool party. He has to make it really fun for all of the actors that he found on Craigslist. And Ariana is getting ready to head out because she has taste and wouldn't be caught dead at this party. And honestly, I don't want to be here either. Like, let's just get to the next scene. Katie meets up with Lala to discuss their little fight at the end of last week's episode. And for the record, I am 1,000,000,000% Team Katie in this. So Lala says that she feels like Katie keeps looking at her like she's her enemy. And in all of the flashback clips they show, Katie's like very clearly just talking to her as her friend, and she just has a different take. And this is Lala's problem. It's like, if you don't agree with her, you're her enemy. Lala says that she's retaliated against Katie, but even that shows that she really doesn't take full accountability because this wasn't a retaliation. Katie literally was just trying to be a part of the conversation that you guys were all having, and you snapped at her. And I'm not just like riding or dying for Katie. I know she can be vicious too, but in the fight last week, she did not start it. I do like how they were able to resolve it and get to a good place. We'll see how long that lasts though, because I mean, all of these rumors from the reunion make me think that there were some serious lines drawn in the sand. So at this stupid little pool party, Schwartz is talking about how proud he is of Sandoval for, quote-unquote, putting himself out there by inviting some random girls into his hot tub. But like, for real though, wasn't he putting himself out there by inviting random girls into his hot tub while he was dating Ariana too? Okay, so these two random girls show up, and it's revealed that he met them at See You Next Tuesday, which means that they are fans of the show, which means that they very clearly know all about Tom and the Scandoval and everything. So like, how hard are we judging these girls? 10 out of 10, no self-respect. Full cringe, so embarrassing. Where are your mothers? Tom's trying to flirt with them by making these super awkward comments about his roommate slash ex-girlfriend, and like, all of these comments are so cringe on their own, but add in the fact that these girls obviously watch the show and already know all of this. It's just so, so embarrassing. The next morning, poor assistant Anne is cleaning up the mess from this party, and honestly, it looks so gross, it's hard to believe that these people are in their 40s. I had a barbecue this past weekend, and we didn't make nearly that big of a mess, but I couldn't go to sleep until everything was clean. Like, I truly cannot imagine my head hitting the pillow and sleeping comfortably and soundly knowing that my floors are sticky. Ew. Sheena comes over and traverses the sticky floors so she and Ariana can talk and figure out who's upset with who and why. Honestly, it's all so stupid, and Ariana quickly apologizes for how Sheena feels, which is nice, but she shouldn't have to. She didn't do anything wrong. She had an NDA, and she couldn't say anything about Dancing with the Stars to anyone until it was time. Get over it, Sheena. And moreover even, the gig wasn't hers. It's not like Ariana and Sheena both auditioned for this part and Ariana got it. This is legit Sheena crying over a total hypothetical. Then they talk about Tom Sandoval, and Sheena asks how Ariana would feel if she were to re-befriend him one day. And Ariana nails it. Sheena already knows she's gonna be friends with this guy again, so she's laying the groundwork. But what she doesn't realize is that this groundwork is going to cost her a really good friend for a really shitty one. Okay, quickly. So to all of the people who are like, it's so fucked up for Ariana to give Sheena or anyone an ultimatum about who they can be friends with, blah, 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 blah. I have to say, shut the fuck up. With Tom Schwartz, first of all, like, he was a major part of the entire affair. Like, he was complicit, he was helping them, he was covering shit up, so he can go jump off a bridge. And with everyone else, Ariana isn't saying, I will not be your friend if you're friends with Tom. What she's saying, consistently, on and off the show, is that she'll continue to keep her distance from Tom. So if you're standing right next to him, expect her to be as far away from y'all as possible. And rightfully fucking so. Schwartz and Crackhead Joe go paddleboarding and have a weird little talk about turtles, I don't know. Honestly, I feel like Schwartz is quietly hitting rock bottom. There's so much else happening in the Vanderpump Valley that I don't think anyone's really realizing that we're witnessing this man lose everything, including his mind. Later on, the entire gang, yes, everyone, including both Tom and Ariana, are out on the town. It's super awkward, but I think it's good for Ariana to go, and while obviously still keeping her distance from the mustachioed worm, she's reclaiming her spot in the group. You know, a queen doesn't run from peasants. She just ignores them and makes them feel completely unimportant. Allie tells the girls that Joe, Schwartz's quirky girlfriend slash roommate slash bro slash crack plug, hit her up to have her chart read. Gosh, imagine that chart. It's just like curly cues and scribbles. Honestly, I bet it's just so chaotic. I had my charts read once, and in surprising news to absolutely no one, apparently I'm like a triple or quadruple Capricorn or something, like big Capricorn energy. Sheena asks Sandoval if there's any world where he can stop making himself a victim and actually apologize to someone, like Katie, perhaps. Sandoval takes this as a challenge more than as something he really ought to do, but I guess whatever works for him. Later on, Sheena and Brock are talking, and she's telling him about her chat with Ariana and how well it went. And Brock says that his concern, however, is what happens when Ariana doesn't have all the support that she has. Then what? But, like, who's planning on not supporting her anymore? not me. Are you guys? Like, I mean, that's what it seems like. It honestly feels like they are so bitter at how much love and attention she's getting that they're all talking about it off camera and being like, all right, we need to knock her down a peg. And then on camera, they're like, oh man, I hope she doesn't lose support, knowing damn well that they've pretty much already stopped supporting her. It's not cute, and it doesn't make them good friends. Katie and Ariana are hosting a girls' night at Ariana and the Worm's house, and Worm takes this opportunity to apologize to Katie. Apologize. LOL. I mean, he attempts the challenge. We'll give him that. He really is so bad at it, though. Like, he's one of those people that apologizes, but if you don't respond to his apology exactly how he wants, he rescinds it and acts like you're being unreasonable. And the only response that's acceptable to him is just to be like, oh no, you're fine, no need to apologize. And obviously he's not going to get that, especially not from Katie. Katie says what Tom did wasn't just bad, it was fathomless. And immediately Tom's inner spoiled brat comes out and he's like, oh really? Fathomless? You couldn't even fathom it? And Katie drops the fucking mic by telling him, no, I couldn't fathom it because I walked away from a 12-year relationship when things got too bad to fix. I didn't go fuck my husband's best friend, which would have been Sandoval, so ew. But I mean, seriously, boom, Tom Sandoval eliminated. Honestly, she and Ariana are the only ones making any sense this season. I mean, I like Allie too, but she's a little kooky with her astrology thing, so I've got to give her some time and we'll see how it goes. Sandoval breaks down to Schwartz about how much he misses Rachel and how he started journaling so he could be closer to her. What a weenie. Sandoval says he's being treated like Scott Peterson, a murderer. Oh, I'm sorry, an alleged murderer, per Sandoval. Like, leave it to this idiot to compare himself to a killer and then defend the killer. And a wife killer at that. Like, I can't. He's so dumb. Sandoval and Schwartz leave, and the rest of the group gathers to play Never Have I Ever. Ariana reads the first card, and it's Never Have I Ever Cheated on My Partner More Than Once. And did y'all clock Sheena take a drink? I mean, maybe that's why she is so easy to forgive Sandoval, because she can relate. Then it's Never Have I Ever Had a Threesome with Two Dudes, and Brock drinks and explains that it was an orgy situation, but James also grabbed his drink. Did you guys see that? I'm just saying. And finally, we get another guys' night. Honestly, at this point, the guys in this group feel like the house husbands on Jersey. Like, I don't need another scene of them sitting around drinking and talking about the girls. I'm over it. I'm over it. I don't need it. And then Jax walks in, and I need it even less. And I turned the show off before the Valley started. We'll see if I have it in me to watch. But, like, I don't know. Jax and Kentucky Muffin and Kristen Doty were not the ones I love to watch on this show, so I don't really see them as a draw to the new show. But we'll see. Maybe I'll get bored. I mean, Beverly Hills is over, so what else do I have to do? Okay, I quickly wanted to go through some Bravo breaking news. Just like very quickly, some like snap judgments on these headlines, if you will. So, first and foremost, Anne Marie Wiley is not returning to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So she posted on Instagram saying that she got the word that she was being let go. So I give her props for like not pretending like she is walking away on her own accord. Bitch got fired. But like she writes this whole spiel basically about how she feels like she got a bad edit and like people didn't get to see the real her. Honey, you had like the best possible edit you could have gotten because no one talked about your transphobia and no one talked about how your husband is a rapist. So production did you a solid, girlfriend. And like, honestly, walk away quietly before we start talking about those things again. Bye. Okay, next up. Brandi Glanville tweeted the other night as Jenny McCarthy was slated to be on Watch What Happens Live. I guess Brandi is like, she watches Bravo obsessively despite hating Bravo so much, and like anyone who's on any Bravo show, she has to comment about them. So she saw that Jenny McCarthy was going to be on, and I don't, again, it's like, I don't know if she's jealous or if she just like wants to burn the whole place down, or like, I don't know what the point of this tweet was, but she basically was like, last time I was on Watch What Happens Live with Jenny McCarthy, she disappeared for 10 minutes to go to the bathroom, implying that like Jenny McCarthy was doing drugs in the bathroom. And so I mean, I guess the point of this tweet was to like further her claims that the Watch What Happens Live clubhouse is just like a drug den. But I have to say, first of all, no one takes 10 minutes to go do coke in the bathroom. Second of all, as someone with raging IBS, I am offended and appalled that you would shame the pooping community like this. Jenny McCarthy has actually talked very publicly, like for years and years, about her IBS. There's a lot of things to not like about Jenny McCarthy, like the fact that she's anti-vax, but there's a lot of things to like about her, like the fact that she's cute and blonde and has IBS. So, you know, she's just like me in those ways. I just happen to be vaccinated. Anyways, Brandi Glanville, shut the fuck up, please. Challenge. Take the challenge. Challenge accepted. I'm accepting it on your behalf. Go do it and shut the fuck up. And finally, Karen Huger, the Grande Dame of Potomac, got a DUI. She got a DUI, you guys. I'm so sad for her. But also, like, what the fuck is with housewives and drinking and driving? Like, y'all can afford drivers. Y'all can, at the very least, afford Ubers. Or, like, I mean, okay, you can afford drivers, you can afford Ubers. At the very, very, very least, you can afford a Lyft. You know, or like a shared Lyft. I don't even know what they're called because I would never take one. But like, come on. There's no excuse for this, you guys. It's 2024. Karen, what the fuck? And then she said it was because she was like really sad about her mom dying. And it's like almost Mother's Day, but like it's not even Easter yet. I don't know. All of this was like so crazy and chaotic. And like, I love Karen Huger, but I cannot defend this. I'm like laughing because it's ridiculous, but you guys, drinking and driving is not funny. It's not. DUIs are not funny. It's not something to laugh at. I laugh at everything. So if fuck me, right? But for real, I don't understand why they can't get a driver. Karen Huger pulling a Shannon Bedore was like not on my bingo card for this week. But there you go. Wishing her the best, wishing her a speedy like recovery. I don't know if she got injured or anything. So, that's important. I don't think anyone got injured, thank God. But if she, hurt herself, I hope she recovers. If she has a problem with alcohol, which it sounds like she might, I hope she recovers. And I hope that she recovers from the grief of Mother's Day coming up in like 2 months. I don't know. All right, guys, that's it for this week. I know this was kind of a short episode, but my in-laws are still out of town. So like, I'm still juggling the babies and like trying to get back to work, and then also trying to like, watch my shows, because as I explained when we were in San Diego, it was lights out at 7:30. So like, I was not keeping up with the Haps and the Bravoverse. So there's been a lot on my plate since I've gotten back, and I appreciate you guys bearing with me. If you appreciate me back, go give me a 5-star rating or review. I love those, and they carry like a lot less weight than the 1-star ones. Like, I could get 10 5-star ones and it like won't really affect my rating, but I get 1 1-star and like all of a sudden I drop down to like 2 stars out of 5. I don't know, it's fucked up. I'm not a mathematician, but what I'm saying is I need you. So go give me 5 stars if you like this podcast. Even like 4 stars would be okay, but 5 is preferred. I'm not trying to like tell you what to do, but go do it. Love you guys. I'll see you next week.